Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message.
Thank you, Father, hallelujah, for giving us your son.
Amen.
That's isn't love. That amazing? We love because he showed us what love is.
That's right.
Yeah. So good.
I'm looking forward to this chat.
Yeah. Hey, that's what we're doing, Highway Family.
I'm looking forward
to it. We're chatting right now. We're having a chat. That's a fun word. Chat.
Okay.
You haven't said that word much
too
lately.
Much? Okay, very good.
Let's chat.
Yes, let's.
Yeah. We're chatting. Hey, we want to talk and have a conversation about culture.
Culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
That's good.
That's
Let's
a great
it.
Topic.
Let's do it.
Now, yeah. So culture is something all of us have.
Yeah.
In one form or another, mm-hmm. right? It's something that's part of being a living thing. All living things are living in some type of a culture.
Okay.
Right? And we're going to talk about that because I think there's a lot of, I think we can get our eyes on the wrong stuff when people talk about culture and we become naturally minded or, as the scriptures would say, carnally minded because we focus on the stuff that maybe the culture around us is telling us is important.
That's the natural way is you just kind of go with the flow, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Sure. Now, Jen, you're a biology whiz.
No.
Yeah. This is like queen biology right
That's
here.
That's incorrect.
So talking about culture, in your biology class, did you guys ever get out the little Petri dishes or the pastry dishes? The
Petri dish.
And create cultures?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wanted to see if something would grow you get the cover, the Petri dish, put something in
How
it,
many people
cover it up.
Failed biology. Come on,
no,
put
no,
it in
no,
the
no,
chat.
No,
put
no,
a big
no,
fat F
no,
in the
you
chat
don't,
right
you
there.
You don't have to admit
okay.
that.
All right.
No, that's nothing we need to publish.
That's all right. So don't put a big F in the, send us your
Just tell
your,
us if you
your,
like
your
biology,
transcript.
Would be nice.
That'll do.
Okay,
that'll do. Don't know much about history.
Okay, continue.
Biology. So you'd get these Petri dishes out because you wanted to grow something.
You wanted to see if something would grow.
See if something would grow. So that's kind of cool, talking about culture. So you get these little dishes, little environments, and you put stuff in there and see what happens.
That's right.
Well, that's really what culture is. A culture is an environment where some stuff grows and some stuff doesn't. How's that for a definition?
Okay.
For our chat.
For our chat, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is not an official Merriam-Webster definition.
Okay.
But it's our chat definition
okay,
for
good.
Today.
Say it again.
Okay. So for what we're talking about, culture is an environment where some stuff grows and other stuff can't.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Now, of course, there are all kinds of different cultures when we talk about people. I'll give you an example of a culture I grew up in. It was an Italiano culture.
Okay.
Grandpa John Giovanni Montaneri came from the country of Italy when he was like 8 years old. Uh-huh. And I lived with Grandpa for some time there growing up. Mm-hmm. So he brought with him a culture.
Yes, he did.
An environment.
Yeah.
Where some things grew and some things didn't.
Okay.
Meatballs grew.
Yes.
But American food didn't. You know what I mean? No, he had things that he liked, things that he valued that he brought with him. Mm-hmm. And so I remember growing up, you know, obviously pasta was a regular meal in the home. Uh-huh. Meatballs, sauce, and so forth, different types of Italian dishes.
Yeah, continue.
Yeah. But the things that he liked became a part of his culture.
Okay.
and they became a part of my culture because I was in the Petri dish with them.
Yeah, well, you know what was always amazing to me is when you talk about music, when you talk about opera, mm-hmm. like opera was nothing I heard
oh,
in
yeah.
my house.
That was part of his
But that was Petri part of dish. His Petri dish.
It was.
Yeah. What was the...
Spaghetti and opera. Come on, are you kidding?
What was the composer?
Giuseppe Verdi.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was part of my culture
Italian,
growing up. Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Only Italian.
So here's me growing up in a culture. You're a kid. You don't know anything else.
No.
And that's what, you know, your family's Italian. You eat Italian.
You listen to Italian.
You know, so you think the whole world is this way.
That's true.
And then so I go to a public school, and I'm in the cafeteria, and I see on the menu it says they're having ravioli. And I'm like, yes.
Okay.
Because my mom would make homemade raviolis that were like 3 inches wide.
And 3 pounds each.
About an inch and a half thick. Yeah.
And
that's what, to me, that was my culture. That was my Petri dish.
Right.
So I go to this other Petri dish, this public school. I see ravioli on the menu. And I'm walking through the lunch line, and they're slapping these flappy little sorry things on my tray.
Soggy.
And I'm still waiting for the raviolis. And I say, okay, we keep walking, and I get to the place where you have to pay. I'm like, where's the ravioli? I literally didn't know what they put on my tray. There are these thin, soggy, flappy, little nasty things. And they said, that's the ravioli, and I almost died. I was not in my Petri dish anymore.
You were out.
And I was not going to grow.
Not doing well.
It was a terrible
Came
day
out
of my
the
life.
Dish and we're just
that's
not
what
doing
happened.
Good.
You know, but that's an example of a different culture,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
There are kids behind me, in front of me, never thought twice about it.
No, they were probably like, woohoo! Yay, yeah.
I believe they were the old Chef Boyardee kind, out of a can. How sad is that?
Ravioli.
Oh, somebody help me. Anyway, but they never thought twice about it because they came from a different culture. So culture is really important. But really, culture is something... did you have raviolis in your home growing up?
No, never.
Never?
Never. And no. And I knew of like SpaghettiOs.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Don't even know what that is.
But I also knew like that wasn't a real sauce, you know.
No, it's,
and we would rarely, well, you know, the only thing we would have, maybe rarely have lasagna and that was made American way. It wasn't made in any Italian sort of a way or spaghetti. And but that was like.
But that was your culture. She was in a different culture.
Yeah, I was very
culture,
rare.
Right? Different
very
culture.
Rare.
So our culture, if we're not thinking about it, it's just the environment around us, mm-hmm. and the things that are valued.
Yeah.
And the things that are not valued.
Right.
So my grandpa valued good pasta, mm-hmm. you know, homemade things, and Italian food, Italian opera and music, and mm-hmm. so that became a part of our culture. Mm-hmm. Well, we want you guys to think about the culture you've created, the culture that you're living in each day. Because now we can have fun. And, you know, I really, all of us come from different nations, different cultures, and we can have fun with that.
Yeah.
And whether I eat, you know, homemade raviolis or, you know, salmon, that's not that big a deal. So it is. It's definitely, it's fun. Culture is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy different cultures. I enjoy different music, different
learning
food,
about them. Yeah.
The different things that different cultures do. And when we talk about food and music and clothing mm-hmm. and decor and all those things, that's fun. But there are some deeper elements mm-hmm. of a culture
mm-hmm.
that we really need to be aware of.
Okay.
And there are different types of cultures.
Sure.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say these probably center around ways of thinking, beliefs.
Right. Exactly.
You said earlier, create your culture, but sometimes we're just born into a culture and we're picking up thoughts and picking up beliefs that we didn't know were part of the culture. And as you said at the beginning, you just assumed everybody thinks the way you think.
Right.
But then you bump into other cultures and you realize the more serious things about cultures are, oh, you think differently than I think.
Yeah.
You believe differently than I believe.
Right.
You know, so...
Right.
Some of those types of things are probably more significant to culture than just food, music,
sure.
clothes,
sure.
you know. Mm-hmm.
But really, the foundation, the essence of a culture is what is believed in that culture.
That's right. That's right.
That's really the essence of it. And you know, at Highway, when we start talking about believing and the things of God and Jesus, forget religion.
Please. Yeah, please.
We're talking about real life.
Believing is a thing everybody does.
Everyone does that. Everyone believes something.
Yeah.
And if you believe something, you start to value it. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, healthy or unhealthy.
Right.
Whatever.
And whether you're even cognizant of the fact that you are valuing it. You might not even realize what you value.
Sure.
Until you bump up against another, somebody who thinks something different.
Right, right.
And that's when it becomes really personal and offense can happen because it feels like an attack on who I am because we're going way further in than just what I'm wearing. Or even though that, too, is a source of, it has been in the past, a source of ridicule or jokes, you know, how you dress, how you wear your hair, how you talk. Mm-hmm. You know, those can be sources of jokes. But when you really hit into... You know, wait, you're challenging what I've believed my whole life. Then it gets personal.
Yeah. Now, in my grandpa's case, he was a character. He valued Italy so much, he was convinced that if anybody did anything good in the world, they were Italian.
Definitely Italian.
Didn't matter where they're from.
Definitely Italian.
Yeah, that's how much. I mean, he took it off, and you know, which is just. Funny, we would laugh at it. Yeah, just we joke with him about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Must have been. Must
but
have been
you can place a wrong emphasis on something, and then things become distorted.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you're at odds with other people.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So yeah, we've all grown up in a petri dish.
Yes.
We've all lived in a petri dish, and certain things have grown in our lives, and other things couldn't grow.
Right.
And we know the different types of cultures in our nation and in the world. Of course, you've got the countries that we're from, the nations that we're from. You've got the type of neighborhood we grew up in, or whether we're in the country, the city, the suburbs.
Right.
Level
of education.
Level of education, sure. Or, you know, your belief system, your financial status, and all of those things. That all play into our culture.
Right.
But let's pull back from all the different types of culture, whether it's ethnicity, gender, finances, socioeconomic, or whatever. Let's pull back from all of that. Have you ever thought about this? What was mankind's original culture?
That's good.
If you want to clear things up, go back to the beginning. I'm telling you. It's so good. But before all the social media and all the, you know, arguing and fighting and people thinking their culture is better than that other culture and the way I believe is right and you're wrong. And before all that, before anything was, Jesus is. And remember, we're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about religion. Forget religion, please. This is a chat here. We're talking real life, okay? But what was mankind's original culture?
See, right now, even this is a confrontation of what someone might believe. And this is why, before we came to this, I wanted to read, if I may, Acts chapter 17.
Oh, yeah.
I have a Wiest translation here, which is not a very common translation, but it's one that uses... a lot of the number of necessary words to get across the original meaning. So this is Acts 17. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I only have one hand. Thank you. Acts 17. And this particular version reads more like a book. So it doesn't have the numbers in it, but I think it's somewhere around 25 chapter 17, verse 25. And so it says, he made, God did, out of one source material. So right away, what you're proposing is that everybody came from one origin.
Yep.
That might throw some people's culture right
here.
You know?
That's all right.
But when
Let's
we go to the scripture, which is what we endeavor to do, it says that God made out of one source material every nation of mankind to inhabit the entire surface of the earth, having marked out the limitations of strategic epochal periods of time, which have been appointed and the fixed boundaries of their occupancy. in order that that they should be seeking this aforementioned God. If so, then they will grope after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we derive our life and have motion. And as also certain of your poets have said, for of him are we also offspring. Mm. So, you know, I wanted to bring that up because in this discussion, we do originate according to scripture, according to God's word. All of mankind, all of culture originates from one original source. Mm-hmm. So can we ask that question? What is the original culture of man? Yeah, because we all come from the same origin.
Yeah, it's true.
And I love that. It's Alveda King. She's Martin Luther King's Jr.'s niece. Goes out and talks quite a bit, but I love, she stands up all the time and say, there's not many races, there's one race. God has made everyone out of one. That's what we just read, one source material. So we all have the same common origin.
That's
what was that culture?
Yeah. We've all actually been created in the image of God.
Right.
We were created, and the original culture of man was walking with God.
Yeah, that's what that said, too, that we might know him, that we might find him and know him.
And you go back to Genesis, and the first man, the first woman, God walked with them and conversed with them, and they worked together.
Yeah.
God gave them a calling on their lives and authority over the earth. Mm-hmm. So the original culture that we were designed to live in is in the presence of God. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Now, obviously, in chapter 3, Satan came along.
Genesis chapter 3.
Mm-hmm. To try and take man out of that culture.
Absolutely.
That's good. Yeah. So here.
Let's
now,
mess that up.
Yeah, right. So he didn't want man to fellowship with God. Because he, as long as man fellowships with God, Satan can't get at him. Right? So the only way he could get man out of that original culture was to lie to him, to deceive him, to trick him into thinking, believing things about his original culture, about the one who made them that were not true.
Yeah.
To try and to create distrust in man and woman's heart toward the one who made them.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Because we've had a lot of time since that garden.
Yeah.
For a lot of splinters and divisions and branches off of things. And they are based on, diverting beliefs.
Sure. So. And what we believe about the Lord, what we believe about God. Mm-hmm. And even not believing that there is a God is a belief about God.
That's exactly right.
So that everyone believes something about God. Even saying, I don't believe he exists, or I think he's a tree, or whatever.
Right.
That's
your
a belief
about God.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you, there's a culture that you are made to thrive in, and it's his presence. And when man removed himself from that culture, dysfunction became the petri dish he lived in. And really, that's what sin is. Sin is means missing the mark, missing, you're missing the environment, you're missing the culture you were made to live in.
Well, that's what actually the meaning of sin is missing the mark. Or like we've always heard, there's the bullseye and you pull back the arrow in the bow and let it fly, and if it's not a bullseye, you miss the mark. So you're saying sometimes culture misses the mark.
Sure.
As fun as it is,
right,
and as enjoyable as it can be, there are beliefs there that can miss God's initial and original intent.
And here's the thing. We can put a whole lot of importance on stuff that's not all that important when you compare it to our divine purpose, to our original intent, to what God intended for us. Mm-hmm. So there I was growing up in, you know, Pastaville. And and we just looked at everything from, you know, the Italian
perspective.
Yeah. Italian, Roman Catholic, you know, that's all we knew.
Yeah.
And then I chose at about the age of 17, I just basically had it with my kind of petri dish I was in.
Okay, it was not.
It was some bad stuff yeah. growing in there. A lot of pain, a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
And I just decided to take a look up out of my petri dish and say, God, who are you? Are you a ravioli? You know, who are you? Show yourself to me. You know, and that was the beginning of a new culture for me.
Right, right.
That was the beginning of a new culture for me.
Yeah.
I chose that I would value him more than anything else I'd ever known or would ever come to know.
Yeah. And you know what?
But that was a big deal.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, your culture had culture of pain. Not everybody's culture has culture of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe it prompted you to take a look somewhere else.
Right.
But sometimes people are real comfortable in their culture, and it will take it'll be a good decision to look outside of that anyway, even if you're comfortable in your culture.
Yeah.
So some are motivated to move out of that because of the circumstance, but some are just oblivious and are happy in their culture. And that doesn't mean that it's good or right or best. It's always good to take a look up, as you're saying, out of whatever your culture is. Because in my particular culture, it was a church culture. It was a Christian culture. And by all remembrances, it was pretty nice, you know. But that doesn't mean that I was fully living in all that God had intended.
Definitely weren't. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Right. I know. So even in that nice, comfortable culture, it still is a good recommendation and a requirement, really, to look up outside of that to the one, to God, our Maker.
Yeah. Right, right. That's so good. And so what type of culture have you created in your life? And again, we're going beyond nation types of food. What do you believe?
That's good.
This is how you rise above the arguments and the fighting of man, is you look up. Mm-hmm. And you talk to the one who made you, and you begin to value him more than anyone or anything else. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me. And this is funny, but I began talking to God, and I wish I had had a Bible. At that point, I didn't, and got someone to give me a Bible probably two years later. But I began reading the scriptures and studying Christ, and I began valuing him more than anyone or anything. He became very real to me. He was always real, but my eyes were being opened to the person of God, to the heart of God. Remember, at Highway, we talk about Jesus. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about the heart of God.
So when you say your eyes are open, you're really saying your thoughts and beliefs were beginning to be impacted
absolutely.
By what you were
learning. Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't think, you know, I didn't articulate it in the way we're talking now.
Right.
But as I began to fellowship and interact with God, well, I was doing it regularly. Mm-hmm. As much as everywhere I went, I was talking to God. I was reading the scriptures. I was learning the promises of God. I was memorizing them. I was speaking the word. I was spending time with him as much as I could because I wanted more of him. And I decided at that point that he was more important than anything or anyone else in my life. And as I didn't realize, I look back now, but as I made that decision, you know what? I didn't care if I ever had another ravioli again. I'm serious.
Right.
Because his presence.
Your culture became less important, and his presence.
His presence became my culture.
Exactly.
Now, stay with me. I'm talking about the presence of God. Psalm 16, in his presence is fullness of joy. And in Romans it says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking.
It's not.
But of righteousness, joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit. I began to eat Jesus. And I just didn't care about anything else. Because he is so delicious. He doesn't come from a can. He's not floppy and soggy. And it won't just slap on your lunch tray. Mm-hmm. He is the bread of life.
That's good.
And that will change your culture. Your personal culture. Is starting to eat the bread of life.
Okay.
Look, so whatever culture you're in, And again, you know, hear what we're saying. There are things about national culture that are fun and good. You don't have to change them.
No.
But when it comes to the what I believe and what I think of him and how I live and the choices I make of what is right and wrong, now it doesn't matter what nation I'm from. I've got to look to him to show me the way. So when God teaches us in the scriptures what is good and what is bad, we take that. We say, yes, sir.
Right.
We
say, oh, yeah,
that's our culture now.
Exactly.
We want to know what's right and wrong. And I was living in a culture that didn't know, for the most part, what was right and wrong. They valued things that were detrimental to their health, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. So whatever culture you might find yourself in, we want to encourage you today as we're having this chat to look up. Because, you know, if the and that's what opened my eyes so much as I read through the scriptures, I learned about what sin was.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't know.
Right.
You know, I had my heart was showing me, but I couldn't. I didn't understand all the the ramifications.
In other words, you felt you feel
like this is
the result
right,
of sin
or something's wrong.
You
here.
Feel like this is not right.
But when God is so good to us, He's a loving Father. He reveals to us what brings wholeness.
Yeah.
What brings blessing, what brings strength, what brings peace, and what doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
And sin doesn't.
He's so good.
So, yeah, any sin that's listed in the Bible, we don't want that as a part of our culture.
Yeah.
We're not talking about people. We're talking about beliefs
and actions,
behaviors.
That follow those beliefs.
Yeah.
Right.
So if, like, for example, on the other side, my grandma was Finnish, and they valued hard liquor. And a lot of alcoholics. And that was, obviously, they didn't, they got to a point where, you know, it was beyond their control. And they but they were, so that was a part of their culture, was drinking hard liquor. And I saw terrible things happen as a result of that. But I'm trying to think where I was going with that. That was a decision they made to get intoxicated with alcohol. And one translation in Ephesians, it says, do not be drunk with wine. One translation says it'll destroy your life.
Right. Yeah.
But be filled with the Spirit of God.
That's good.
That became my culture. So I drank a lot.
And alcohol
as a teenager.
Could be a culture.
It was a part. It was a part of our culture.
Right.
And I got smashed, and I got sick, and I got a lot of trouble. I had a lot of issues, but when I began to fellowship with God, and I got filled with the Spirit of God,
right.
I'm like, why would anyone? Once you taste the Spirit of God, are you kidding me? Getting drunk?
Right.
That's like an absolute waste. Of life,
right.
Waste of time, waste of money, waste of energy.
So you're right now revealing a shift in the way that you thought or what you valued and what you believed.
Yeah.
So your culture changed when you came to Christ.
And when you come to Christ, and I wasn't interested in trying to change my culture. I wasn't even thinking about that. I said, I want you.
Right.
So the desire was not, okay, I want to do right. I don't want to do wrong. No, I want you, God.
Right.
I want to know
and,
you.
You know, and I don't think probably not. I don't think you knew even what coming to Christ would do to your life. You know, you were just.
I didn't care. I just wanted him.
Yeah, your story is so cool in that sense, Joseph, where, you know, like you really just accepted that God is who he said he is and that he's good, you know, and that, and so you were ready to just do whatever he said, having no idea what the result of that would be to your life or your culture. It wasn't like you were like, oh, I'm an alcoholic and I don't want to be one. It wasn't like that for you. You didn't even know what the end of following Christ would be. And we're still discovering, which is so wonderful, right?
Yeah, it just gets sweeter
and sweeter.
Our culture
gets, you know, better and better.
Yeah. But I want to encourage you. And, you know, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught about culture.
Yeah.
The culture of our heart. Very powerful. And he talked about that the sower sows the word.
Right.
And plants that word. That word is to be planted in our heart so that we can have a culture of produce. fruitfulness, love, right. joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, mm-hmm. gentleness, self-control, mm-hmm. so we can live life abundantly. And he talks about this, so that where the real, deep, powerful cultural stuff comes from. Not the, all that stuff we're talking about surface.
Right.
You know, food, clothes, music. That's right. I enjoy those things, but that's not going to set you free.
Right.
The power in real culture comes from what's going on in your heart. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what's wonderful about this, guys, we can all change that.
Yeah.
So if God has said something in his word that's not good for you, embrace it. Say, thank you, Father. I'm turning from that, and I'm gonna eat you from
okay,
now
so,
on.
Okay, so you read God's word, and yeah. it reveals to you that something about the way you're
sure,
living is not right.
Galatians 5, powerful, I'm thinking of. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Where is that? 21, 5, 23?
22 through 24.
So like 18 and 19, I think that talks about... the culture of sin.
Yes. It's a contrast.
Immorality.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a nice contrast
two
in Scripture.
Two petri dishes right there. Yeah.
One is the culture 5, of death and sin
19.
And death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it talks about, great place to understand culture, sexual immorality, fornication, witchcraft, mm-hmm. hatred, envy,
anger.
Jealousy, mm-hmm. wrath, all of those things bring death, bring darkness, bring confusion. Yeah. So we don't want those in our petri dish. So what's the solution? Eating Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Begin to desire him and choose him and fellowship with him and get in his presence and worship him and realize now that those things don't have anything to do with you anymore. Mm-hmm. So when we put our faith in Christ, when I put my faith in Christ at about 19, 20 years old, mm-hmm. I didn't know it, but I got taken out of this petri dish of darkness.
That's right.
And put in this petri dish of life.
That's what
and
the Bible
light.
Says.
And, yeah.
It doesn't say petri dish,
yeah.
it says that.
The kingdom. We're talking
kingdom
of God.
Right.
The kingdom of God
That's
culture.
Right. That's what it is.
Ah.
What does the scripture say? You've been taken out,
translate,
of, the kingdom
out of the kingdom
of
darkness and translated
into
the kingdom of his beloved son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Colossians. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we want you to know, I love just chatting. Mm-hmm. We don't have all day, but we'll
That's
keep
fun.
Going as far as we can. Yeah. But we want to invite you to rise above your current culture, whatever that might be. How? By lifting up your eyes, by opening your heart to Christ and asking Jesus to show himself to you. Not talking about religion.
No.
We're talking about the one who made you. Say, show yourself to me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read a little something here in Psalm 16:5. Because we choose what's important to us.
Well, that's what God is so good. If you look back at Deuteronomy, I think chapter 30,
yeah.
you know, he says, I set before you this day life
yeah.
and death,
yeah.
blessing and curses, mm-hmm. right? And then he tells you what to choose.
Yeah,
he says, choose life.
Choose blessing.
So isn't God so good? He's like, yeah. He puts the choice in front of us and then tells us which one to pick.
Yeah.
And not only that, then he empowers you to walk out what you've chosen.
Yeah.
You know, in Christ by the Spirit of God, you gain the strength and ability through your faith in him. Right? To actually walk out this choice that you're making. So.
Yeah, God is not looking for perfect people because there aren't any.
No. I'm certainly not one.
So we're all a mess to one degree or another, but that doesn't matter. He wants you. Mm-hmm. And what he's looking for are hearts that are turned towards him.
And that's what your story really demonstrates is your heart was in a place where it was ready to choose, you know, but you didn't know what you were choosing, but you were ready. Yeah.
Sure. And listen to Psalm 16:5. This is out of the Passion Translation. And I want you to listen to what the psalmist is saying. He said, Lord, I have chosen you.
Good.
Culture right there.
That's right.
What you choose as valuable will become your culture. Mm-hmm. I have chosen you alone as my inheritance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Big deal. I have chosen you alone as my inheritance. Not my mom and dad are going to leave me, or grandpa or uncle. I'm putting all that aside. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally choosing you alone, not you and a few others. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You alone as my inheritance. And this rings with me. This is what I did back in when I was a teenager.
Right, right, right.
I've chosen you alone as my inheritance. You are my prize.
Love that.
And I got rejected by my culture by doing this. Just so you know, I got kicked out of my culture. But you know what? I've chosen you alone as my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. Now that's a petri dish right there.
Yeah.
I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. Surrender.
No, yeah, total.
We give our whole lives to him.
So opposite of the natural culture, you know. Yeah. Because when you and wanting to defend and fight your culture.
Right.
You know, it's not surrender. You know.
No.
It's so different. Divine kingdom, heaven, culture is so different from what we're born into.
It really is.
You know, and all the things that you said previous in Galatians that were a contrast, you know, when you want to defend your culture and you want to fight for your culture and you want your culture to be represented, you know what ends up happening? You're not surrendering.
You're
getting into bitterness, anger, wrath.
Right, right.
You know, so...
the stuff that messes your heart up.
This choice that you're talking about to choose God, to choose Jesus, and to surrender is the path into this
abundant
new culture.
Life. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. New culture.
Yeah.
I love that. It says, your pleasant paths lead me to pleasant places. Verse 6.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm overwhelmed by the privileges that come with following you. For you have given me the best. The way you counsel and correct me makes me praise you more. For your whispers in the night give me wisdom, showing me what to do next. Mm-hmm. Because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wrap around presence every moment. Man, that's so good. Let me see if... let me keep reading. My heart and soul bursting with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure. For you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your Holy One to experience corruption. For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life, the path to the bliss that brings me face to face with you. Let me hit that. We're going to just get out. We need to get
it's
out
okay.
here. For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life. So here's what happened to me, 17, 18, 19, 20. I began looking for Jesus. Then I got a hold of the Bible. Forget about it. I was like, okay, I read it as much as I could.
Now you're adding knowledge to your desire.
No, exactly. I had the zeal, but I didn't have the knowledge.
Exactly. Come on.
So when I started studying Christ, I started getting knowledge of who he really is.
That's good.
And I wasn't just kind of talking to the sky anymore, right? I could start to see the heart of God in action. Mm-hmm. So what I began looking for was revelation of Christ and the life he came to give us. And that became what I valued.
Yeah.
So now hear me out. I want you to hear me out. Are you out there, Highway family? You're not sleeping, moving your chair, jump up and down, have some pasta, do something. So here's something funny. Now, just this is me. When you choose to value him above all else, the other shallow cultural things won't even bother you. Mm-hmm. You won't even notice them.
Mm-hmm.
Give you an example. I start hearing men and women teaching revelation of Christ. Mm-hmm. that was in line with what I was reading in the Bible. In Matthew records of the ministry of Christ, he said he did three things: teaching, preaching, and healing. That was the summary of his ministry when he was on the earth.
Right.
Two-thirds of it, teaching and preaching. Mm-hmm. Very important. Then healing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting connected with ministries who were doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
teaching,
mm-hmm.
preaching, and healing.
Mm-hmm.
And man, did my life change. Mm-hmm. Now I was gaining the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of the finished work, who I am in him, his will for my life, life abundantly, what he provided for me through that atonement on the cross. And watch out, man, my whole life was changing. But then I came across other believers, and I'd be listening to revelation of Christ, and they'd say, "Who's that? Sounds like he's from Texas." I didn't even notice he had an accent.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Talking about cultural
I've
things.
Heard that. Like a lot of preachers have a southern kind of accent.
In this country,
sometimes.
Sure. A lot came from the Midwest,
right,
or central,
right, right, right.
South Central,
right.
Texas,
and that would
Oklahoma,
be
yeah.
offensive to someone's culture,
right.
Maybe somewhere
but
else.
But I just want you to know, because I was focused on revelation of Christ, I literally never gave it a thought.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Never gave a thought of their accent,
right.
How they dressed.
Right.
The tie they were wearing.
How wide it was.
How wide the tie was they were wearing. Literally.
How baggy the pants were.
And I thought, and I mean, the messages I was listening to were absolutely bringing healing into my life.
Right, right.
Deliverance,
right.
Prosperity. It just changed my whole life. And I was shocked that this the other people were listening to that same revelation, and they missed it completely,
right.
Because they were so carnal.
Right.
In their thinking.
So,
they're
yeah.
listening to the accent, where they're from in the
looking
country
the
or the
tie.
World, the culture, and they just totally missed.
Right, right,
totally
right,
missed
right.
the very words that would have made them whole.
Right.
And that's what we want to help you with, guys. Because you don't want to miss Jesus. But listen to me. Inevitably, God's going to bring people into your life that have a revelation of Christ
yes.
that are not your preference
not your
of
flavor.
Culture. It's just going to happen. I'm just telling you. This is prophetic.
It
huh?
is. Not your
Listen,
flavor.
Yeah, maybe they don't talk the way you like them to talk. They don't come from the same circles you come from, don't dress the way you think they should dress, but they
need.
Have a revelation of Christ inside of them. Start to value that.
Yes.
And now I listen to all kinds of different people
Absolutely.
From different countries
yeah.
that had different dialects mm-hmm. and accents from the East, from the continent of Africa, from Europe, mm-hmm. from South America,
mm-hmm.
but never gave it a thought. Mm-hmm. Of where they're from, what their accent was, mm-hmm. what their native language was.
You know why you can do that?
Looking for revelation.
Because they, no matter their language,
yeah.
no matter their skin color, no matter
That's
their
right.
ethnicity, are in the now same petri dish as you.
Yeah.
So we, you know,
yeah.
so now all that stuff doesn't matter. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So that's why it's... mm. If the preacher's bothering you...
Yeah, you better...
Yeah. Like you haven't made it over into the petri dish with the rest
right,
of the,
right,
you know,
right.
with the rest of the culture. So there's a kingdom culture, mm. and you're
Revelation
right.
of Christ.
Those
is, yeah.
lesser things,
yeah.
become non-issues.
That's right.
Because you've entered
Absolutely.
Into a kingdom culture.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm, a heaven's culture.
I'm gonna go a little farther. Can you handle
okay.
this?
Hey.
And I grew up. I mean, you know, family. Talking about, you know, what are you going to do with your life and got to do this, got to do that. What kind of job are you going to get? Where are you going to live? And, of course, people saying, well, you can live in this kind of a climate. And if you live over here in this part of the country, this part of the world, here are the benefits. Here's the demographics of this area.
Right, right, right.
When I gave my life to Christ, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely didn't care.
Right.
Why? I was on a quest to know him more.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up living in several different types of culture
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in the States and abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter. I didn't care what the weather was like. Didn't care what the food was like. Kingdom of God's not a matter of eating and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy good food. I've had some of the best meals in the world in some of the nicest places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But compared to the presence of God,
mm-hmm.
it really, I don't care where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what I eat. I don't care if I ever eat again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I have a good cup of bean again.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God's presence is so good. And see, once you taste him, once you start eating fresh, hot Jesus on a regular, daily,
mm-hmm.
it's going to change your culture. And the things you thought were so important aren't going to be all that important anymore. Mm-hmm. And we want to help you, mm-hmm. Highway. Because mm-hmm. the reality is the kingdom of God is where you thrive. But everyone in the kingdom of God doesn't look like you, doesn't sound like you, doesn't
think
you, it doesn't eat the things you eat. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are we after? Revelation of Christ.
That's good.
Revelation of Christ. That is our culture at Highway. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We want to see and know Christ more clearly every day.
And thank God for the word of God that tells us that we, you know, those of us who have chosen Christ and have moved petri dishes, have been moved into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You know, we are, I totally just lost it, but we're able,
yeah.
To be formed, that's what it was, into the likeness of his Son.
Yeah.
That's God's word to us, is mm-hmm. that as we continue forward, we are truly being conformed and made into the likeness of his Son. And that's just never going to stop, you know, until we see him face to face. And then we're going to be just like him, is what the scripture says. So it's just so wonderful. This is God's work. This is how it works. Mm-hmm. This is, he moves us out. We're surrendered to him. We're doing what he says. Mm-hmm. The lesser things fall away. And we mm-hmm. have the guarantee of being made and conformed into the likeness of Christ. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God.
The presence of God is the culture you were made for. It's the culture you'll thrive in.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it's so good. Mm-hmm. Before we pray, we're going to pray together and we'll bring this thing to a close. Mm-hmm. But we want to invite you to consider becoming a part of the Highway culture. Mm-hmm. What are we all about? Three things. Who Jesus is, what he's done for us,
and who we are in him. In him. Right.
That's our culture. That's our petri dish right there. Mm-hmm. And that's what we talk about. That's what we sing about. That's what we rejoice about. That's what we converse about. That's what we chat about.
You like that word.
I do like that word. Yeah. Yeah. And we want to help others experience the love and power of Christ in their daily lives. So you can partner with us if you're not already a member of the Highway family. We invite you to consider partnering with us. How do you do that? Well, we'll start participating with our live streams. Our live streams, whether on Sundays or our Bible studies Wednesday nights, get a hold of our podcasts, our emails. Start hearing the food that we're serving. Start listening to the revelation of Christ and start sharing it with others.
Talking about it. Having your own chat.
Yeah, absolutely. And then start chatting with others about who he is, what he's done for us, and who we are in him. Yeah, and then so you come along with us, you start valuing revelation of Christ, you start cultivating that relationship in your personal life, you believe God with us, because we believe in for this thing to grow and grow and grow,
yes.
Not only online, but also physical locations in homes, apartments, public places, yes. All over the nation around the world. And also, you can partner with us financially. And it's easy to do. You go to highwaychurch.us. That's our website. Highwaychurch.us. I like that .us instead of .com because it's us. Mm-hmm. Highwaychurch.us. And you can click on give in the menu. Highwaychurch.us. You can text in what you'd like to sow into this ministry. 508-502-7733. The information's there on your screen. It's also all on the give page there. You can mail a check to us, to Highway Church, to our mailing address. But here's the thing. Make it, this is a relationship with Christ and a relationship together with this church and with this ministry. And it's a daily thing. It's a weekly thing. It's a monthly thing. It's a yearly thing. So become involved. Pray with us. Believe with us. Study with us. Grow with us. Give with us. Sow with us. Reap with us.
That's good.
So you can do that on our website, highwaychurch.us/give. You can do reoccurring gifts once every week, once every month, however you want to do it. For any amount you'd like, you can give stocks are available through our. You can give stocks. You can give different types of things. You can sow possession vehicles, homes. You can do this all through our website. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We have it set up to do that. So it's pretty powerful, just like they did in Acts. They'd sell homes, and they'd bring in the profits to the church.
Yeah.
so the kingdom of God would grow and expand, and everyone would hear this good news. So we invite you to really grab a hold of this thing, run with this thing. Let's go. We endeavor to bring you revelation of Christ in everything we do. That's what we're all about. And let's pray right now as we consider sowing financially into this ministry, and also what we've just chatted about as well. All right? Go ahead, Jennifer. You pray.
Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your word and for your spirit. And Lord, we just give in this time. Lord, we thank you for moving upon our hearts that you are faithful to direct us in who we're to connect with and when and in what manner. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts even right now concerning what to give to see your word go forth, Lord, that we would be connected as the body of Christ in new and innovative ways of this time and of this era just before you return. We thank you, Father, for an acceleration of your word and a growing of your word, that it would go and run to the every corner of the earth, Lord God, that your word would be broadcast and sent out. And we thank you for partners. We thank you for those who are agreeing with the mission and agreeing with your word and getting on board with the way you are conducting things and the way you're growing your church in this hour. Father, we thank you for it. And we seal all the things that we've discussed, Father. We totally and completely surrender our culture to you, Lord God. We give to you every thought about giving. We just give it up and we take whatever your culture says about giving. Which is that those who sow liberally will reap liberally. And we thank you, Lord, for liberal sowers, Lord God, for generous sowers and for generous return for all of us who are participating in your kingdom culture. Father, we love you, we honor you, and live our lives unto you and for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Highway family, we bless you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We are believing with you for mortgages paid in full,
correct.
Debts paid in full,
glory to God.
Prosperity like you haven't imagined.
There's stuff health to do.
And strength, absolutely. Wholeness, strength, blessing,
glory
love, joy, peace, abounding in your life, in the life of your loved ones. Let's go. We're moving forward.
Glory
We're going
God.
All the way. We love you and bless you in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See you soon.
God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of His goodness, who He is, what He's done for you, and who you are in Him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life He came to give you.